dealing with disappointment. Few things are as disheartening as unfulfilled expectations. While we recognize that disappointment is a part of life, things can get ugly when expectations are met with disappointment. The ancient philosopher Epictetus advised, quote, "Do not seek to have events happen as you want them to, but instead want them to happen as they do happen, and your life will go well," end quote. According to this philosophy, the key to dealing with disappointment is to adjust your expectations. Now, the disappointment that comes from unfulfilled expectations is as old as the human race. When Eve birthed Cain, she believed that he was the promised offspring who would overturn the curse. She expectantly declared, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord," Genesis 4 verse 1. She expected Cain to be the promised offspring. How disappointed she must have ultimately been. If Eve's disappointment was based on a misunderstanding of God's promises, other disappointments arise from an absence of divine promise. This was the case for Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. As a young married couple, they had anticipated a future in which they would build a family. And as the years passed, their expectation remained unfulfilled. For decades, they longed and prayed for a child. But they remained childless well into their advanced years, and they felt disgrace because of it, verse 25. While their desire for a child was good, and while it reflected a healthy understanding that marriage is in large part designed for procreation, Malachi 2 verse 15, they had no promise from God that they would have a child. God nowhere promises that he will give every married couple children. Many a marriage has experienced the devastating disappointment of childlessness. Zechariah and Elizabeth's was one. And as I read this account again recently, I was struck by the way that they responded to their disappointment. Many a professing Christian has walked away from the church and the faith in the face of unfulfilled expectations. John Mark walked away when the missionary life proved more difficult than he expected it to be, Acts chapter 15. Demas deserted Paul when the expectations of faithfulness to Christ did not shine as brightly as the allure of the world, 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. Zechariah and Elizabeth were different. They persevered. Their response to disappointment honored God, and it has much to teach us when we face our own disappointment. So let's consider four ways in which this godly couple responded to disappointment and seek by God's grace to emulate their example. First, Zechariah and Elizabeth met their disappointment with devotion to God. Even though God did not fulfill their expectations for a child, they were both righteous before God, the text says, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, verse 6. They may have been tempted many a time to give up on their devotion to God, but their faith was not rooted in some form of prosperity gospel. Even when God did not give them the desire of the heart, they knew that he was worthy of their devotion. Second, Zechariah and Elizabeth met their disappointment with service to God. Verse 8 says, "Now while he was serving as priest before God." Far too many have abandoned any pretense of service to God when he has not fulfilled their expectations. Zechariah and Elizabeth would not allow unfulfilled expectations to interrupt their service to God. They knew that he was good, even when they did not understand his ways, and they kept serving him faithfully. Third, Zechariah and Elizabeth met their disappointment with prayer to God. When Gabriel assured Zechariah that "your prayer has been heard," verse 13, the Greek construction suggests that God had heard a particular prayer. In other words, God had not so much responded to the prayers that they had prayed over the years, but he had heard a specific prayer and sent Gabriel in response to that prayer. This suggests that even into their advanced years, they were still praying for a child. Perhaps as devoted servants, they were familiar with the story of Abraham and Sarah and therefore believed that God could give them a child even in their advanced years. And while Zechariah did express doubt on the basis of age, according to verse 18, I wonder if his unbelief was more about the kind of son that God promised than about the fact that he promised the son. God promised the son who would be the messianic forerunner foretold by Malachi. They might have believed that God would give them a son, but surely not a son of that caliber. They didn't have the energy in their advanced years to raise such an important person. But the tense of Gabriel's words does suggest that they at least persisted in prayer in the face of unfulfilled expectations. Fourth, Zechariah and Elizabeth met their unfulfilled expectations with obedience to God. Even though they were advanced in years, when Zechariah's service was finished, he went to his home, verses 23 and 24, and his wife, Elizabeth, conceived. We wonder how she must have felt when she arrived home to the sounds of Barry Manilow crooning over a candle at dinner. Regardless, when she heard Gabriel's promise, she was obediently intimate with her husband and thereby conceived. And so in these four ways, Zechariah and Elizabeth offer a wonderful example to Christians of how to respond to disappointment. When your expectations are unfulfilled and you are tempted to turn your back on God and your faith, respond instead with devotion, with service, with prayer, and with obedience, trusting the wisdom and power of God.